So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, chapter number 8 entitled Questions by King Parikshit, text number 10. Sa chapi yatra purusho, sa chapi yatra purusho, vishvasthit Vishvastityudbhavapyayah Vishvastityudbhavapyayah Muktvatma maya mayeshah Muktvatma maya mayeshah Shete sarva guhashayah Shete sarva guhashayah. Also, api, as he is, yatra, where, purushaha, the personality of Godhead, vishva, the material worlds, sthiti, maintenance, udbhava, creation, Apyayah, annihilation, Muktva, without being touched, Atma Mayam, own energy, Maya Ishah, the Lord of all energies, Shete, does lie on, Sarva Guhashayah, one who lies in everyone's heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. Please also explain the personality of Godhead who lies in every heart as the super soul and as the Lord of all energies, but is untouched by His external energy. Translation, please repeat. Please also explain the personality of Godhead who lies in every heart as the super soul and as the Lord of all energies, but is untouched by His external energy. Purport. Undoubtedly, the form of the Lord who was seen by Brahma must be transcendental. Otherwise, how could he simply look upon the creative energy without being touched? It is understood also that the same Purusha lies in the heart of every living entity. This also requires proper explanation. So the purport given by Srila Prabhupada is very short. But at least we have something, you know, something is better than nothing. Yesterday, while coming back from men's retreat, Teethpat Prabhu and I was discussing one verse from 12th canto. So then we wanted more explanation of Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. So we thought we'll see what the purport is. Of course, 11th, most of 10th canto, 11th canto and 12th canto purports are written by disciples of Srila Prabhupada from Acharya's commentaries, but that verse didn't have any purport. So we still want to know more about that. So, but here Prabhupada gives at least a short purport, so which can be expanded further. So here Maharaj Parikshit is asking many questions. The first chapter of Bhagavatam itself is entitled Questions by the Sages. And here this chapter is Questions by King Parikshit. So this is seen that all great devotees, they ask questions. And it's an art to how to ask questions. Because questions should be in right attitude. We shouldn't ask questions from devotees or guru in a challenging spirit. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevya. So you submissively inquire. Pariprashna. So then, when the person who gives the answer, he considers your attitude and he gives the answer accordingly. So in Bhagavatam we hear that all these questions, Munya Sadhu Prishtoham, Bhavad Bir Loka Mangalam. So these questions asked by sages, by devotees, are Lok Mangalam. It's not that these devotees don't know the answer, but they want to hear more and relish Krishna Katha more and more. And also they want to help others. So whatever is spoken by Krishna and devotees, of course it pertains to that particular conversation. But in future, whoever hears the answers or any other conversation of devotees or of directly by Krishna, they are also benefited. Loka Mangalam. So loka means, it has two meanings. It means all the people, and it also means the planet. So all the people living in all the planets, wherever these topics are discussed, they will be purified and they will benefit. So here we see in today's verse, I was just looking at word-to-word meaning and just saw there that there's three names of Krishna mentioned here within this one verse. So one is in the first line, Purusha, the personality of Godhead. So Purusha is a name of Krishna. So God has unlimited names. There is no limit to the names. It can be said God has no name, but it can also be said He has innumerable names according to His activities. So there are primary names and secondary names. So the names in relation to His active, His pastimes of creation and so on, as you know, supreme proprietor and supreme controller, they are secondary names. So Purusha, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is controller of the Prakriti, is a secondary name. And then again, while going to men's retreat, we were hearing Srila Prabhupada's lecture in the car. And Prabhupada was saying, there is only one Purusha and everyone else is Prakriti. So Jay Prabhu was saying, oh no, we shouldn't hear this. We are going to men's retreat, you know, and there is only one Purusha. We are female. So should we go, you know, so like that. So yes, it's true. In essence, we are not these bodies. We are tiny spirit soul, and that spirit soul is Prakriti. So Prakriti means, the feminine nature means it's controlled, predominated by the predominator. And there is only one Purush, which is Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham Tam Aham Bhajami. So that's one name of Krishna given here in this verse. Then another one is Mayesha. Maya Isha. Isha means controller, the lord of all energies. So Krishna has multifarious energies. Parasya Shakti Vividai Vashruvyate. There's multifarious energies. But broadly, when it is categorized, it's in three divisions. The external energy, the internal energy, and the marginal energy. But He is the controller of all these energies. So that's why He's called Maya Isha. So Maya means all the energies, either the spiritual or material, and marginal is between spiritual and material. So that's another name of Krishna, Maya Isha, Mayesha. And then finally, the last line, it says Sarva Guhashaya, one who lies in everyone's heart. So Krishna is Guhashaya. So The heart is like a cave, and within that Krishna is residing. So Krishna is there within everyone's heart. And yogis are trying to find Krishna within the core of the heart. And that's very troublesome process. But devotees, just by performing devotional activities, they can see Krishna everywhere, in the heart, outside the heart, everywhere, just by simple process of bhakti yoga. So these names are very important. All these names are given, primary and secondary. The primary names refer to Krishna's pastimes with his dear devotees. So they have more, actually everything, all names of Krishna are absolute, but the primary names have more sweetness in them because they are in relation to the devotees. So that's why they are called primary. But, you know, we can chant any name, we'll get purified. So these names actually prepare us, like Sarva Guhashaya, Purusha, so that we know who we are dealing with, what's the position of Krishna, that he is the controller of everyone, he is not any ordinary person. Because as long as we consider Krishna as ordinary, we are mudha. Avjananti ma mudha manushim tanumashita. That when Krishna comes, many people think when Krishna comes to material world, he assumes a material form. So that's being a mudha or a fool. So that's why these secondary names prepare us to understand the depth of primary names. So that's why these names are mentioned in these earlier cantos. So that when we reach 10th canto, which is the Samam Bonam, we can relish Krishna's primary names there. So Krishna, so many primary names are given. Like when Krishna is about to go to Mathura, so there's the verse is mentioned, Govinda, what's that? Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. So all these names are mentioned directly about his activities. So Govinda, who gives pleasure to cows and the senses. So his dealings are reflected from these primary names. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentions in Antya Leela that so he says there are different meanings of holy name. So we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So there are different meanings. So what Mahaprabhu says is, I do not accept many different meanings of the holy name of Krishna. I know only that Lord Krishna is Shyam Sundar and Yashoda Nandan. That's all I know. So that's Mahaprabhu, he says. So then further there's a verse given from Nam Kaumudi, one of the scriptures. So I'll read that verse. It says, Tamala Shyamala Tushi Shri Yashoda Stanandhaye Krishna Namno Rudhir Iti Sarva Shastra Vinirnayaha. The only purport of the holy name of Krishna is that he is dark blue like a tamala tree and is the son of Mother Yashoda. That is the conclusion of all the revealed scriptures. So then further Mahaprabhu says that I conclusively know these two names, Shyam Sundar and Yashoda Nandan. I do not understand any other meaning, nor have I the capacity to understand them. So this is Mahaprabhu speaking. Because he is in that mood, he is in the topmost bhav, mahabhav. So he only relishes those primary names. But as sadhakas, we have to understand the importance of all the names. And then when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam and constantly hear Krishna's qualities, Krishna's different names, then we are purified. And then we reach to the platform of Shuddhanam. So that is Mahaprabhu is exhibiting this Shuddhanam platform. So when the pure devotees, they chant the holy name, so the whole package is revealed. So within the holy name, there is all the qualities, the pastimes, and the form. Everything is there within the holy name. So that's how Mahaprabhu is feeling when he's chanting holy name. So when he used to see Jagannath in the Puri temple, so there is a hall, Jagmohan, from there near Garuda Stambh, he used to see Jagannath. So he used to see Jagannath as Shyam Sundar, holding a flute. So that was his mood. So just by carefully and attentively chanting the holy name, everything will be revealed. One devotee recently told me a story that now when we chant, we think, you know, what is it? It's just like a mechanical process, you know, same mantra again and again. So this one story is very nice in this relation. So there were two disciples of a guru, and they had to cross a forest. So they took permission from guru, and they had to cross this forest at night. So the guru said, I'll give you one advice. It's very dark and you'll be crossing this forest, but on the way you will find some stones. So just pick them up. So they were very sincere disciples. So they began their journey, and then they found some stones on the way and they kept collecting. But they were thinking, you know, why did Guru Maharaj tell us to collect these stones? What's the use, you know? Their bag was becoming heavier and heavier, and they were thinking, what's the use? But still, they were duty bound, and then they collected all the stones. So when they reached, when they crossed the forest, it was daytime, and they saw their bag. Those stones were actually diamonds. Because it was night, they couldn't figure out what they just seemed like stones. But when light was there, the diamond reflects the light very brilliantly. So this is like, we all have this diamond in the form of holy names. But now we cannot see the glitter of that holy name. But when we cross this dense forest of ignorance, basically these lower modes of passion and ignorance, then we can see what we have actually. So we have this real jewel, this holy name which was chanted by all acharyas, Mahaprabhu himself. So we have that now, but we don't know the importance and the value. But if we keep collecting these holy names just by sincerely, two tricks, there are two secrets, attentively and carefully. So we give our attention. When mind goes, due to our previous conditioning, we try to bring it back. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyam yaitad atmaneva vasham neyat. So whenever mind wanders, you just bring it back. And then it's like each holy name that we hear, it's like we are collecting something. And then later on, we can reap the benefit. And it's not that we have to wait. Even simultaneously, even now we are getting the benefit. It's just that we can't realize what we are getting. So this is the importance of holy names. So Krishna is mentioned here as Sarva Guhashaya, that he is present in everyone's heart as the super soul. So in Brahma Samhita it is said, Andantarastam Parmanu Chayantarastam, that Lord is present within this universe, the Brahmanda, the universe. So that is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and he is present within every Parmanu, every atom, and that is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So same Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is Sarva Guhashaya. In everyone's heart, the Vishnu which is present is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So that's the super soul within each living entity's heart. And Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is also known as super soul, but he is the super soul of who is present within this universe, and he is the collective super soul of all living entities within that universe. And then Mahavishnu or Karanodakshaya Vishnu is also the super soul. He is the super soul of all collective universes, because from his pores all the universes are coming out. When he breathes out, all the universes come out of his pores, and when he breathes in, all the universes enter. So, especially here, the Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is mentioned, Sarva Guhashaya. So, in Bhagavad Gita, few places it's mentioned that Lord is present in everyone's heart. There's few verses, Sarva Sachaham Riddhi Sannivishto. And then in 18th chapter it says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriteshe Arjun Tishtati. So, Ishwar or Supreme Controller is present in everyone's heart as the Super Soul. And he knows all our activities. So as Super Soul, what is Krishna doing? What is Krishna doing within our heart? What is the role of Super Soul or Kshirodakshaya Vishnu? So Upadrashta Anumantacha. So these are the two main roles that Super Soul plays. So he's the Upadrashta, or he's the overseer. He's watching everything that we are doing. So the modern day man, he thinks he can do anything. No one is watching. Mm-hmm. But within the heart, there is someone who never sleeps. He's watching, you know, what you are doing, what you are dreaming. He's watching everything. And actually, he's the one who is permitting all your activities, Anumanta. So he's the permitter. Without Krishna's permission or sanction, no one can do anything. Devotees cannot pray, demons cannot do sinful activities. Nothing can happen without his ultimate sanction. In 18th chapter again, it's mentioned there are five things which constitute an action. So the Super Soul is the ultimate factor. So the endeavor is there, the, you know, the soul is there, but unless it is sanctioned by the Super Soul, it won't happen. So that's why many people ask, you know, why does, if there is a God, why is he permitting, you know, all these things when tsunami came or something happens? So that means there is no God. No, but our understanding is that, you know, we are so stubborn, we want to act sinfully. So then he permits, but at your own risk. So we have to go through whatever reaction we get. So here it says, Krishna, he is not touched by our namam karmani limpati name karma phalesriya. Whatever you do, it's your responsibility. But he gives directions how to act. So in that sense, he's being very fair. We can't say that, oh, God is all merciful, so whatever we do, he should be merciful. No, he's our well-wisher, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. So he guides us how to act properly. That's like a real parent. So then if we don't act according to his directions, then he says what to do. You have to suffer. So here it says that muktvatma. Muktvatma. So he is not touched by his own energy. So he, you know, all these material actions and reactions, he is aloof from them. So when that's why it is our responsibility, especially in the human form of life. That's why it is said, Athato Brahma Jigyasa. When one is covered by material energy, it's very hard to understand what the reality is. Yesterday again, I was discussing with one devotee that human form of life is actually very close to our original constitutional position. Because it's fully developed, like this two-armed form, and you know, as in Bible also it is said, we are made in the image of God. So ultimately, Krishna is also two-handed, and we are just like, you know, so two-handed form like Krishna. So, and other animals, if you see, they are so much covered by material energy. Their consciousness is covered. So if you see reptiles or birds, very different form. The soul has. Soul is covered so much that the original form is hidden So insects and the animals are on four legs, but the human form is evolved. So we are very close to our spiritual body actually. But if we act wrongly, then we go down. That's the greatest danger. Trayate mahato bhayat. So the greatest danger is to fall down in the lower species. But Krishna is giving directions. So these questions and answers actually reveal to all people that how we can act. So there is a conversation in 10th canto where Parikshit Maharaj asks to Shukdev Goswami that why are devotees of Lord Shiva very opulent, but devotees of Lord Krishna are sometimes very poverty stricken. So he's trying to analyze that, you know, just by logic, that Lord Shiva, he's like a mendicant. He doesn't wear also proper clothes, and he has ash around his body. He doesn't even make a house for himself to live. He just wanders in the forest or sometimes in crematoriums. And his devotees are so rich, you know, they have so much wealth. On the other hand, Lord Krishna is the husband of Goddess of Fortune. You know, in Vaikuntha he has like so many palaces, jewels and everything. And Goddess of Fortune herself is serving him. But his devotees are poverty stricken. So what's going on here? So he wanted to ask this. So then Shukdev Goswami replied that that's mercy of Krishna, because whatever wealth that devotees of Lord Shiva have, that is temporary. That's external potency, material energy. But Krishna, because he is so merciful, he doesn't want his devotee to get entangled in material energy. That's why when he's especially merciful to someone, he takes away all his wealth. When he's especially merciful. So one should be very ready for it. Krishna gives a test which we can pass. So that's one point. That's why he doesn't take everything from us. if he takes few things, we will be like, out of his corner, I think. So that's why he's very careful also. He gives a test which we can pass. But he says, when he's especially merciful, a devotee who is actually ready, then he takes everything. He blocks everything until that devotee fully takes shelter. Because he's ready now. He says, I don't want any other shelter. Mam ekam sharanam raja. Only one shelter, which is Krishna. So then that's a special mercy of Krishna. So he takes away all material facilities, all false shelters, all fallible soldiers are taken away. And then he fully takes shelter of Krishna. So that was the answer given. So in that way, when here it is said, Lord is not touched by material energy, although he glances over the material energy. In the same way, devotees are also not touched because they follow the process of bhakti yoga. By following bhakti yoga and these directions of Krishna, they also become liberated. They are not touched, although they may seem to work in this material world, but actually they are not touched by material energy. Another example given in Krishna book is about liberated persons is like a sleeping man. If a man is sleeping in a room and someone else comes, he can see that the man is here. But the man himself is somewhere else. Because when one sleeps, he just goes somewhere else. The subtle energy, subtle body goes somewhere else. So in the same way, the liberated person is within this world. We can see, he's acting, these advanced devotees we see, they are just like us, doing activities. But actually, they are somewhere else, like that sleeping man. Other people can see him, but he's somewhere else. Same way a liberated person, others can see acting just as normal, but actually his consciousness is merged in the spiritual world. That's why Mahaprabhu said, my mind is Vrindavan. So their consciousness is merged in the spiritual world. And it has been, there's so many examples given in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic scriptures. And especially we see examples of Pandavas, because that is common to Bhagavad Gita also. That's in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and in Bhagavatam many places there's mention of Pandavas. So they went through so many tribulations. But Krishna protected them. Their love for Krishna increased at every step. Bhishma Dev actually says, he was almost in tears just by remembering what Pandavas went through. So just imagine, who is Bhishma Dev? Bhishma Dev is the Kshatriya, and he's a nastic brahmachari whose determination is like topmost in the whole universe. He's one of the Mahajans. So this person who is like, and no one could defeat him. He defeated Parshuram, and one time he decided he'll kill all Pandavas, and they thought that's it, that's game over now. So that's Bhishma Dev. He's so powerful. And he says that when I think what Pandavas went through, he feels like almost crying. So that means what Pandavas went through was really extreme. But Pandavas, they always took shelter of Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita it is said that there are six types of aggressions. Papam eva shreyadasman hatvetan atataina. So atatai means aggressor. So there are six types of aggressions which are considered topmost. And according to Manu Samhita, if you kill one such an aggressor, you won't get sin, because he is an aggressor. He is trying to harm you in this way. So even if you kill that person, you won't get the sin. So please don't misuse that statement. So what were the six aggressions? And Pandavas went through all these six. So one was, if you attack someone with a sharp weapon, if you plunder someone's riches, their whole kingdom was usurped. And if you poison someone, so Bhima was poisoned, and if you burn someone's house, so how many? Four done? So five done? Four done. So if you kidnap someone's wife, and one more. Yeah, I think we did that. So stealing someone's property, attacking with sharp weapon, poisoning, burning the house, insulting the wife, and... yeah, the stealing. Okay, one more. Let it... So these, everything, all these six happened with the Pandavas. So if we just think, if this happens to us, how will we react? Any one of these, you can imagine, you know. So I think I can imagine five, only the the sixth one I can't. If someone insults your wife, because all brahmacharis can't relate to that. But at least others, if you think like that, if it happens to us, what will be our reaction? And Pandavas showed the perfect response, that, you know, they took shelter of Krishna. And Krishna protected them, and their bhakti increased. So that's how we see from Shastra, that if we somehow or other come in touch with the Mayesh, who is controller of material energy, who is not touched by material energy, then we also become like that. We won't be touched by material energy. And Krishna gives all the protection. So we have to we have to have this faith. So it is mentioned that it's like his lotus feet are like a boat. So once before, I think I gave this example. Like if someone is swimming in the ocean and he goes a little too deep, and now he's struggling, he can't get to the shore and he can't swim anymore. So then he sees a big ship is going past. So ideally he should ask for help. So he shouldn't think that, he shouldn't be in doubt, is this ship, strong enough, to save me, you know. It's a big ship and so many passengers are there already, and it has a competent captain. So he shouldn't be in doubt and just drown in the ocean, rather than take shelter of the ship. So same way, as neophyte devotees, sometimes we have doubts. Oh, Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's service, you know, is this enough to save us? Or can I take little shelter of Maya, my material activities? So this doubt actually keeps us away from Krishna. But by having right association of devotees who are taking full shelter of Krishna and constantly hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can actually see things as they are. And then whatever comes our way, we will see it as mercy of Krishna. So Burijan Prabhu in the retreat, he was discussing an example of Avanti Brahman. So he lost everything. And in the end, he actually he got detachment. And he saw that as Krishna's mercy to him. So he said, Nunam me Bhagwan stushta sarva deva mayo hari. That the Krishna must be very satisfied with me, because he has given me this detachment. He has, you know, he took everything away from me and gave this detachment. And the main point is he's increased his attachment to Krishna, Paratmanishta. So that's why we have to follow these examples, and then we can be very safe. We can easily cross this ocean of material ignorance. So I'd like to stop there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Occupies the land. Right, yeah. No, I think we mentioned that. It takes your land. Six done? Okay, so six are done. Hari Bol. Yes, Prabhuji. I think it would be a combination of both. Yes, it's in the conversation with Vallabh Bhatta, and he rejected his interpretations. So I think you'll be right to say it will be a combination. And of course, he has his mood. So when someone asks Mahaprabhu how to see Krishna, which form to see, he says Shama Sundar. So that's his rasa, you know. So his Ishtadev, he sees Jagannath or Shama Sundar, like that. So that's his rasa, his relationship. So I think it would be right to say it's a combination of... So I didn't read the whole conversation. I just found those verses. Somehow I saw those verses and they were relating to the primary names. Anything else you want to add or... Jai Jagannath Prabhu, you wanted to ask something? No? Sorry, can you be a little louder? Sorry, all souls? Oh, right. Yes. Yes, there are gopas. But the point of these words, Purusha and Prakriti, is the nature. The Purusha means the enjoyer, and Prakriti means the enjoyed. Although they have the masculine forms there, or animal forms, but their mood is to give enjoyment and be enjoyed by the supreme enjoyer. So in that sense, they are Prakriti, feminine. They are, you know, their internal potency. So there is only one source of energy, and then everything else is his energy. So in that sense, there is no other male. Yes, who?
Just one comment. In 2011, in Vrindavan, my Guru Maharaj, they put that as a meditation lecture, and he made the same point that holy name, you must chant as much as possible and make your bank balance. Holy name. So, that's the main key. Prabhupada is saying all the time, chant as much as possible, and then discuss the attention and sincerity, and let it be in the world.
Thank you.
My question is, so we are discussing when you decided to Krishna, Krishna take away everything. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that whatever this my devotees have, I protect them. I protect my devotees, whatever they have, I
provide everything.
Yes, I provide them. Like, but it's like, if we decided to Krishna, Krishna take away, it's a...
Do you want to go to Shiva's camp then? It's your choice. Go to Shiva ashram. You get everything. It's your choice. What he means when he says he protects what you have, it's in relation to bhakti. So when all these tribulations, as we were discussing, came to Pandavas, he protected their bhakti all the time. So, the material things are temporary anyway. Even if someone protects it, this body is temporary. When we leave the body, everything will remain here, right? So that's why Krishna, when he protects, it protects your bhakti, and you know. So don't worry, he won't take everything from you. That's what I was saying. He won't give you a test which you cannot pass. When you are ready, then maybe. If you are not ready, then you can go slowly, you know. You can go slowly. Don't worry, he won't take anything from you unless you are ready to digest what Krishna is doing, you know. So don't worry. Yeah, he will not. Don't worry. He's expert. That's why he's God, you know. He has, logically, if you see, if someone is God, he has to be, he's the source of all intelligence. So he has to be very intelligent, right? So he will not take so much from you that you go to Shiva ashram. He will just, he'll just give you, take little here and there. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yes, Rob.
One person told me that there is a fault with God because he had asked the jivas to commit sinful activities. What would you say to that?
We already discussed, if one persists, then he says, do it at your own risk. Yeah, he is the ultimate sanctioner. But if, like, example Prabhupada gives, a child wanted to put his hand in the fan, table fan, and the father said, don't do it. He said, no, I want to do. He said, don't do it. He said, no, I want to do. He said, okay, do it. So I think he turned off the fan when it was, the momentum reduced. Then the child put his finger and it hit his finger. So then never again he put his finger there. So that's like a caring father. He advises, don't do it. But if you, then you do it. Yes, Prabhu.
Allows you to do, and there's what he wants.
Thank you. Okay, any last questions? Yes, Prabhu. No, Shiro Dakshaya Vishnu is the super soul within the heart. Yeah, Garbo Dakshaya Vishnu, both. All living entities, yeah. It means, like when there was no creation, Aham eva asam eva agre, nanyat yat sadasat param. So before creation, he existed. So then there is a lotus stem which comes out from his navel, and then there is a lotus flower, then Brahma comes. Then within that stem, there is all, everything, all material ingredients. So all living entities, everything. So he is the collective super soul, like that. So everything is present within him, all the planetary systems and everything else. And then Brahma creates, he is the secondary creator. So in that sense, he is the collective super soul within this universe. For details, you have to read Bhagavatam, second and third cantos, how creation happens. Yeah, his further expansion. Yeah, these are all three Purusha avatars. Purusha avatar, these three. Karna Dakshaya Vishnu, Garbo Dakshaya and Kshiro Dakshaya Vishnu. Ultimately, Krishna is the original Swayam Bhagavan, and then everything else expands. Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.